You're listening to the EWN Podcast Network.
Welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl, a community and education platform that empowers parents and caretakers to foster independence, leadership, and strong personal identity in girls so they can change the world. Now, here is the founder and your host, Maria Fuller.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl. I'm the founder and your host, Maria Fuller. Before we get started, let's make sure you know where to find me. You can find more information about our education and community platform at raisingapowerfulgirl.com, and you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Raising a Powerful Girl. Make sure to connect with us on social media to find out our latest news, learn tips and tricks, submit your questions, and continue our enlightening conversations. And now let's get on with today's show. My guest today is Dina Patton. Dina is an award-winning business coach and an activist, speaker, philanthropist, and best-selling author who works with leaders, women entrepreneurs, and world changers. As a business and marketing coach, she helps clients build the systems to be a well-oiled company, the strategy to be a well-marketed company, and the greatness mindset to be a well-led company that makes the revenue and the difference you want. She sold her PR and marketing company in New York City in 1999 to become a coach to help her clients grow their business, but also to help them grow their impact on their family and their philanthropy too. You might know her from the 60-plus media stories like CNN, NBC, Entrepreneur Magazine, or Phoenix Business Journal. Her book, The Greatness Game, just hit number one on the Amazon bestseller list. And she's here today because she has a mission to ignite greatness in leaders worldwide. Dina is also one of the founders of the Girls Rule Foundation. Well, welcome, Dina. It's so great to have you. And I'm really excited today for our conversation. And I'm really excited about this foundation that you have co-created with a couple of other really incredible women, the Girls Rule Foundation. Can you tell us about that and how that came about?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me and this discussion. It's one of my favorite things to talk about. We started the Girls Rule Foundation 8 years ago, and it became a 501c3 in 2013. And back then, you know, we really, first of all, came to it because of our own calling and our own passion around empowering teen girls. Because it's a tough time in someone's life, and especially now with the media and all the pulls and the distractions, anything that pulls a girl off of their own journey of knowing themselves, knowing their power, knowing their voice, knowing their gifts, knowing their dreams, what direction they're going. Anything that pulls them off of that is damaging to their journey. So you know, it came about from our own passion, our own calling to help girls. We all have some kind of thing that moves our heart, and it might be to save dogs or work with the homeless. And I found three extraordinary women who had the passion to empower girls. So it started there. And then once we got into the statistics of girls, our eyes opened. We really realized that girls today, disempowered girls turn into disempowered adults, which then, you know, that the system that we have in this country around women who are in domestic violence, women who are in jail, women who are not on track with their lives. It starts really in our youth. And so we just really took those statistics at heart. And in Arizona alone, we're the third worst state to be in a girl. And so once we knew those, it changed the game. We became a 501c3. We got really serious about our five programs, and the game really started to deepen and our focus around empowering girls.
That's amazing. And I really love what you say about how disempowered girls become disempowered women, because much like, it's so funny because your entire experience parallels so much of mine and what I've seen. And I'm here on the Northeast, you know, of the United States, and I've seen it as well. And, you know, it was such a frustration for me working with women entrepreneurs or just, you know, friends of mine in general that are just so disempowered or are not putting themselves out there. And there's such a huge correlation to what was going on when they were a child. So I really love that what you're doing out there. Do you have a core values or certain beliefs that kind of encompass your foundation?
Mm-hmm. So we definitely have our values, how we run our business. And I believe every single business, I don't care how small or big it is, you need to run your business from core values, hire, fire, and lead from your values. So that's definitely from my leadership place, that's definitely super important. But as far as the curriculum that we teach, we call it the Foundation for Success. And it is three components, and it's a strong self-esteem, greatness mindset, and then 12 powerful leadership principles. And so all five of our programs are delivery platforms for those three things. So obviously our workshop that we do that's an hour and a half, we're only touching on those things and just introducing that those concepts to girls, versus our eight-day summer camp, we go really, really deep in all of those. So those are the three that we really teach and help girls with.
I love that. And I love that you talk about leadership, because that's one of the components that's really important to me, because I really want to see, you know, just in politics today and in government, I really want to see an increase of women in government. Really, women only make up 18.9% of Congress, and that's a problem. And when we're talking about, you know, reproductive issues, or we're talking about parental leave or maternity care and all of this, and we wonder why choices are being made that don't really align with what we need, and it's because we don't have a voice. And so I think that's so amazing what you're doing, and I really hope that this can be, you know, the platform or the launch pad for us to start making these shifts and changes that we so desperately need.
Yeah. It's one of the outcomes that, you know, people say, why do you do this? There's, you know, the short term where you're helping a girl along her path right now, deal with whatever she's dealing with and staying on track and her stepping into her power and her focus and her dreams. So all of that, of course, is a big motivator for us and our goals. But the long-term goal is helping girls get to leadership positions in all sector, nonprofit, business, entrepreneurship, politics, entertainment. You know, I mean, we have some real movement right now in the entertainment industry where women are starting to really show up and step up and say, we need to tell more stories. Look at the, I just love the movie. Oh gosh, I'm going to forget the name of it. The NASA women. It just came out.
I don't remember the name either.
Yes. I'm forgetting the name, but it just came out. Huge hit. Yes. Same with Wonder Woman. You know, these stories that are women writers and women directors and women stories that are, whether they have a real person, you know, tied to it or not, but it's a strong woman presence and a strong story for girls to say, oh, wow, look at what she did. And so I love the movie Joy about, you know, Joy, who is a huge inventor and very wildly successful, but was not when she invented her first invention. And so I love these stories for our girls to see, wow, if she could do it, I could do it. And we need more of that. So yes, we need more girls. We say girls with dreams become women with vision. And so that's the result that we want to see, is these girls step into their adulthood with big dreams. And whether they're changing the world on a local level, family level, or world level, I think it's important.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you brought in entertainment, right? Because sometimes we don't even realize or think about that. And I recently saw a video clip of Reese Witherspoon, who was, I believe, Glamour's Woman of the Year in 2016, I believe. Mm-hmm. And she spoke about how she has been an actress since, I believe, the age of 12. And she started to see the big problem when she would read scripts, that she would start to get annoyed because she'd read the scripts and all of a sudden it would come to a part of the story where something's going on. And she said 9 out of 10 times, the female lead, which is really not even the full lead because it's usually a male lead, would turn to the male and say, what are we going to do now?
Right.
Like, she doesn't have the brain to figure it out. And it's so right. contradictory to what, as society, we say, because we know in times of crisis or in an emergency, what do we teach kids? Find a woman, find right. a mom. Right. She can help you. You know, what right. woman in a time of crisis really has no idea what to do?
Right.
And that small messaging, just changing that in a script yes. is so important. Men don't see that. Women right. see that. And that's why right. it's really so important for them to get out there and yeah. in theater and, you know, any type of screenwriting, books, mm-hmm. novels, mm-hmm. we need more of those stories.
Well, it influences. I mean, my daughter's 9 and she's been reading since she was 3 or 4, and those stories are important, what we're putting in their hands. And then the TV and the film, it's what influences our culture, our marriages, our children, our mindsets. And so it's very important. It's actually one of, you know, my tips today is really considering what you are. And as parents, we do have this awareness, but we need to have hyper awareness around what are we showing our kids in those forms of books, TV, film, now on their phones, YouTube. Kids are very into YouTube right now. Who are they following? So it takes a whole nother extra layer of parenting just to monitor that stuff. But this is the important part, is that those things are influencing your child, how to act, how to think, how to build relationships, what's okay, what's not. So entertainment, you know, having women influencing our entertainment. And that movie is called Hidden Figures.
Oh, okay. Great.
And one of the best movies you can watch with a girl in your life. It's extraordinary. And being intentional around watching, getting your girls to movies that are powerful and have powerful messages, I think is really important.
Yeah. And what I love is that I think we're really starting to see a shift even with Disney, mm-hmm. right? I've always had an issue with the princess syndrome and stuff. And I think for years I pushed off watching Disney movies because I was so anti the girl having to be rescued. And my mm-hmm. girls finally convinced me, let's watch Moana, mommy, please. Can mm-hmm. we watch Moana? Oh my goodness, that movie spoke to my soul mm-hmm. and the music, so powerful, right? And even they even got it right finally with the imagery where she wasn't this waif.
Right.
Right? She was this strong, powerful girl with a powerful mm-hmm. voice. And I love it because my girls know all the words to Moana and they will belt them out and sing them. Yes. And those are the messages we want them to listen to. You know, that's yeah. what we want. Those are the lyrics we want going through their head, you right. know, when they're doing their busy work and whatever it is they're doing. And it really is so critical on what, just what you play in the car, right? Mm-hmm. So we never listened to Raffi or anything like that. We always listen to current pop music, but I was selective. I'd create my own playlists on Amazon. So we'd listen to Fight Song and mm-hmm. we would have certain songs that I would play. So they would kind of still stay with the time and they're not, you know, these kids that don't know anything, but I was very conscious on the lyrics that they listen to. So I love that. So you have a great topic or talk that you do, and you wanted to talk us today about 5 tips to raise brilliant, beautiful, and bold girls. And I'm so excited to talk about this with you.
Thank you. And I think it's so great that you created this platform to have these discussions, because this is how parents stay empowered. You know, parents need to come from that place of empowerment to raise empowered kids, girls and boys. So it's really easy. You know, I know it is so hard to be a parent, and it's easy just to go on to a default setting, you know, and just check out. But as parents, we've got to listen to things like this and get that tribe of other parents who are playing the same game, right? And there's some parents who just don't have interest in that. And so, I have a few tips on that just help our parents of the girls that are in and around Girls Rule Foundation. And the first one is strong self-esteem. And why we always start with that one is because self-esteem is the core of our life. It dictates and steers where our life goes, who we marry, what kind of job we get, what kind of revenue we get, our relationships in general. You won't see often, you won't see someone with a strong self-esteem in an abusive relationship because she knows she's worthy of a healthy relationship. When you have low self-esteem, you often are saying messages, I'm not worth it, I deserve this, I should be better, he's right or she's right, you know. But so a strong self-esteem, you can't medicate. You know, a lot of moms, a lot of adults, you know, we've gone through our life disempowered and in low or struggling self-esteem. And then we create coping mechanisms, right? Whether it's eating or food or drugs or pills or, you know, whatever that coping mechanism is. And really the core is strong self-esteem. And this is the great news. I love this. And this is, you know, my own journey is that the self-esteem that you had as a child, if it was low and struggling and you got bullied and you were the one made fun of, this is the thing. It can be improved. It's called self because you are in charge of it. It's an inner job, not an external job. And when we say, you know what, I'm going to be on a journey of growing my self-esteem, that is that journey of self and building that relationship in yourself and believing in yourself again and taking care of your mind, body, and spirit. So my own journey from disempowerment to empowerment is behind some of this. You know, it's why I became a coach. I've been a coach for 15 years and curriculum writing and author and speaker because I had my own journey of low self-esteem and being bullied. And I know that mindset where I'm not worthy. I didn't know my worth when I was 13. I didn't even know I had any power or any say in anything. And so I think it's really important as parents to check our own self-esteem and always be working on that. How can you believe in yourself more? How can you empower yourself more? How can you love and respect your mind, body, and spirit more? So it always starts with self-esteem. And because it is the core platform that we start to build our lives. Often when I talk to girls who don't want to go to college, it has nothing to do with college. It has to do with they don't believe that they could do it or they deserve it. So it's a self-esteem issue, not a college issue, or someone that doesn't know their dreams or, you know, won't go there. When we're starting to do dream exercises, they're like, I don't have dreams. It's not a dream issue. It's actually a reflection of their self-esteem, because someone with low self-esteem doesn't dream, doesn't have those big dreams. You're not worthy of dreams, right? That's what our mind says. And so it's really, really powerful for us as parents to work on our self-esteem, but to help our daughters with their self-esteem.
Yeah, I love what you say, and I love that you start out with that because I feel so strongly about the same thing, and it really is tied into so much. And what I think is so important, what I love that you said, is that this is something that can change, that it's not something that's innate in us. And I think that's, you know, really important for parents to get that message out to girls that you're not born feeling this way or thinking this way. This is a journey. And, you know, I really feel that it's our responsibility as parents to help girls find things that they love to do, that they're good at doing, to help start building up that self-esteem and self-worth, because it translates into so much. So many women that I've worked with as entrepreneurs that aren't charging enough money and they're not growing their businesses, or their businesses are failing because they have this tie of their self-worth and self-esteem to money.
Yes.
And that's such a large problem. Yep. Or they don't apply for a job unless they meet 9 out of 10 of the requirements because of self-worth. Where a man, if he only meets 10% of the requirements, he'll apply for the job. Right. And it's connected into so many ways that holds us back. What are some things that you would say to parents are important to do to try to help build that self-esteem and self-worth?
The first thing is connection, is that connection, whether that's, you know, during dinner time or a walk, walking and talking is really, even just around the block, you can get more out of a child if you're walking. It's statistically proven. And so versus sitting and looking at them and trying to like dig it out.
Yeah.
So walking and talking, and you know your child best. Sometimes it's driving, you know, driving to school or to soccer. And it's just that 10 minutes a day or a couple times a week where you're really asking questions and you're looking for those opportunities where you can authentically praise them, right? You never want to do inauthentic praise because it's breeding inauthentic self-esteem, right? We want true self-esteem where we're really looking for those golden moments where they're thriving and starting to focus and spotlight on those and saying, you do that really well, you know? And so praise points, connection, listening. It's really important that our kids get that we are listening to them. And that self-esteem, you know, is going to come from the strong points. And sometimes it's not an activity. Like maybe they're a great listener or they're super compassionate. And it's those skills that are really thriving in them. Well, what are you doing to give them more platforms for that? Right? So if your child's super compassionate, why don't you volunteer with them? What a beautiful thing for parents. And I'm a big believer of volunteering with your child. So bringing once a week, you're going and serving the homeless together. And that, it just feels so good, you know? And especially, it's also a self-esteem builder when you're doing things for other people, right? It's off of you. And so that's just a few things that parents can do. And also, again, it goes back to them, is watch how you talk about yourself. If you're demeaning yourself, if you're looking in the mirror and going, oh, I'm so fat, or oh, look at my chin, what you're actually communicating to them is this is how you treat yourself. What if they said that to themselves, right? So you got to watch what you're saying about yourself. Are you speaking lovingly about yourself, because you're training her or him, this is how you treat yourself. And it's, and around money. Money messages is a really disempowering thing around children. So when you say, well, we can't afford that, we can't put that back, we can't afford that, those are messaging. Our outer voice becomes their inner voice. And you say that to enough, to a child over 18 years, you know, they now grow up with, we can't afford that. People like us don't have money, you know, we can never buy anything. And then it takes years to undo that messaging. So empowering them around money is a hot spot for me, because my child had chores at 5 where she can earn, you know, she knew exactly the chores if she chose to do what chores she wanted to earn money. And I started to build her relationship with money, that money is earned. Love is not earned. Money is earned, mm-hmm. right? And I'm not going to raise a child who expects me to buy everything, you know? So just some empowerment around money. How do they earn it? How do they save it? My child knows that we live on a budget. And if she wants something special, then she says, Mom, can we put this in the budget somewhere in the next month? And I'll say yes or no. But that's a raising a child who's empowered around money and knows her boundaries around money and not disempowered around money. Because money can be a very big mm-hmm. piece of low self-esteem.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's like we share the same brain. And I love that, because it really is, it's a hot topic for me. And it's primarily because I grew up with that. We don't have money. We have very little money. We don't have money for that. And it played a huge role in my first few years as an entrepreneur. And I couldn't mm-hmm. figure out why I was yep. stuck. And it was that. And I love how you empower your daughter with money, because I do much of the same thing. And what I'm really trying to teach her is that money is a tool. That's mm-hmm. all it is.
Right.
You can always make more money. You know, right. that's not a big deal, but we choose. I don't say we can't buy that today because we don't have it. We're going to choose not to purchase that today because we are using our money towards other things. Right. And a big component, what I've been trying to teach my girls, is when they get like a gift, or they get maybe $100, what are we going to do with that money? How do we break it up? And so yes. to start teaching them kind of like, when you get a paycheck, you don't get all of that money, right? Some goes to taxes. So I want her to save some. Mm-hmm. She can have some for fun. And then I ask her to 10% of it to donate it. Mm-hmm. Who can we help with that?
Right.
What else can we do? Because what I've seen with a lot of women is especially when we talk to them about making more money, they almost push it away. Like I've had people say, oh, I don't need to make that much, and put their hand up and push me away. And I say, well, why not? And they're like, well, I don't need that. And that's not what money is about buying things. It's who can you help?
Right.
And
do
teaching
good so you can do well so you can do good.
Good. Yeah.
Right. I want to make a lot of money in my brand, in my business, so that I can turn around and write those philanthropy checks.
Exactly.
Industry checks. It's so fulfilling when I can help, whether it's an individual or an organization. I love that. There's nothing more fulfilling in that. So, and choosing, I think you said something, you know, the one of the biggest words around money is choice.
Yeah.
And my daughter is saving right now, and she just saw something actually this weekend in a store, and it was like $18. And you could see her wheels change. She's like, okay, here it is. I want this really bad, but is it worth me spending $18 of the $75 that I have saved right now? And she looked and really evaluated, and she's like, oh, I really want it, but I don't know if it's worth it. And she ended up getting it. Where most of the time she'll actually choose not to. Once she's kind of thinks about it just for a minute, is this worth it? She'll put it back and say, no. So I think it's a really big part of parenting and empowering self-esteem, especially girls with money. Boys with money tend to be better. So I think that really watching our messaging and how we're teaching our kids and our girls how to earn money, save money, invest money, give money.
Love it. Awesome. Well, we could talk about this all day, but let's move on to okay. Number two.
Yeah. So number two, we'll go quicker. So number two is our greatness mindset. I actually wrote a book on this called The Greatness Game, and it's on Amazon, and it has, you know, so much more around this concept. But the concept is this, is that we are all born with a greatness voice and a smallness voice. And that smallness voice is all about disempowerment, negativity, fear, tactics, and reminding you just how unworthy, right? And it gets very negative and it gets very nasty, actually, and we all have it. And then our greatness mindset is the opposite. It is there for us to remind us that we can, that we are worthy, that we can learn, that we can ask questions, that we can ask for that promotion. It's all those things that are for us and empowering. And the important part of this is we get to choose which one we listen to on a daily basis. And so a simple thing is to start to recognize your smallness voice and when it pops up, because we have very loud smallness voices, and sometimes we can hear it 5 to 10 times a day, right? You're going to walk into your boss's office and it's like, boom, right? What are you going to say? Well, you sound stupid. Da, 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 da. And all of a sudden we go into disempowerment and we just, you know, we're now low and our body language shows it. Mm-hmm. It shows everywhere in our voice, in our stand. And all of a sudden we don't have that powerful meeting that we were going to have with our boss. Instead we're coming from that mousy smallness place. So we teach girls in our programs and moms to recognize that smallness voice. And we do a 30-day challenge where they turn down the smallness voice every time they hear it, and they get recentered in their greatness. And so what it does is it actually starts to retrain your brain how to think. And the objective is to master your greatness mindset and start to live, love, and lead from your greatness only. And I promise you, I have coached thousands of people through this, and your smallness, once we hear it and once we recognize how much it is playing us and how much it is robbing us of our power, of money, of that promotion, of connection with our kids, of good grades. I've coached kids from D's to go to A's just by turning down that smallness voice, and they start to really listen to their greatness. And guess what? When you're thinking different, you act different. Mm-hmm. And so they start engaging in classes, and they start sitting up, and they start listening, and they start asking for help, because they're thinking and acting from their greatness, not their smallness. That smallness says, oh, you can't do it. Oh, you're too dumb. Da-da-da-da-da, you know, all of that. It'll just make you shrink and deflate. So it's a huge thing that moms and dads can start doing themselves, but also make it a family game, and or should I say goal? And it's a new way of thinking. And you take the 30-day smallness challenge, and you start to turn down that voice every time you hear it. And I promise you, it's hard in the beginning, because it's been doing it for a long time. But at the end of that 30 days, all of a sudden those 10 smallness attacks a day go down to one or maybe three a week, you know, and all of a sudden when you are going from 10 smallness attacks a day to three a week, guess what? That's the less disempowerment that you're in, right? More empowerment. And so it's a huge thing around parenting, and we want parents to be parenting from their greatness. There's a whole chapter on what I call greatness parenting, and parenting from our greatness, because greatness sparks greatness. Smallness sparks smallness. So if you're parenting from your smallness, that anger and that resentment and that nagging and that, you know, just that place that we can all go to, if you're parenting from that place, you're sparking that in your kids versus your greatness sparking their greatness. So that's tip number two.
Thank you so much, Dina. This was such a great conversation, and you gave so many helpful tips. To find out more about Dina and the Girls Rule Foundation, you can find her at girlsrulefoundation.org. To hear the rest of this interview as we further explore the other three strategies to raising a brilliant, bold, and beautiful girl, please join our community at raisingapowerfulgirl.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
You are a leader and a role model to developing girls. Whether you're raising a daughter or you work with girls on a daily basis, you see the incredible potential they have to make a difference in this world. You know the change we need is going to come from them, and you want to make sure they grow up to be independent leaders with a strong sense of personal identity, because these are the traits that make a powerful girl. So come join our community and education platform at raisingapowerfulgirl.com and become a part of our movement to educate, inspire, and cultivate a generation of powerful girls with eye-opening discussions and facts, exercises, and tangible calls to action. We can't wait to see you there.
Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is it so hard to make a buck? I know I have. Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. What I have discovered after going from the brink of bankruptcy to running a multi-million dollar award-winning business is this. You can't build a million-dollar dream hanging around minimum wage mindsets. My mission is 1 million women entrepreneurs generating $1 million in annual revenue. So here's what I've done. I've created the mother of all entrepreneur success programs that you can access online on your time. It's called Monetize Me Now. It's a 7-module online course that is 100% my success formula, covering mindset, mission, management, motivation, marketing, and measure. Come on, take my hand and I'll show you the way to learn to earn flowing revenue for your business. Visit monetizemenow.com for details.
Thanks for joining us. This is the EWN Podcast Network.